This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie Products, Uhler's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pip Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Alps Outdoors, and last but certainly not least, a special shout out to the good folks over at Briley's for leaving a legacy of shooting innovation. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new arrows, or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be, as a supporter of the podcast, you can use promo code WDTTPROMO, that's WDTTPROMO, for 15% off anything on the website at Uhler'sArchery.com. Some exclusions may apply. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your host, Mr. Courtney Williams.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I am your host, Courtney Williams, and I've got a super special guest on today, Mr. Michael Colberth, Georgia's own, Georgia's finest. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. About yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Doing good. I know we had a little mishap last time we was on here, man, with my internet situation. My boy Jay said I'm still living in the 17th century over here in the in the sticks of Kentucky, man. So glad to have you on, man. Found out about you from my boy Trey. He's like, man, you got to have Mike on. great dude, great brother. I love what he's doing with outdoors. He said he's got a very unique name. When you first look at his profile, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Georgia boy. But I was like, hold on, this is Georgia's boy. He said, yeah. He said, you got to ask him all about that. And he said, it's a pretty cool story. So I was like, okay. And, you know, I love stories, love listening to them. It's one of the main reasons I started my podcast. So just introduce yourself and tell us where Georgia's boy outdoors originated from.
Yes, well, I'm Michael Colbreth. Currently in Rome, Georgia. Grew up in Savannah, Georgia. Just been in the outdoors recently. I'm fairly new to the outdoors, but my granddad is really who introduced me to the outdoors. His name is George Colbreth. That's where the name came from, Georgia's boy. The name actually popped in my head while I was hunting some public land in Kentucky, actually. I went to grad school and was doing some hunting there, and I was just kind of walking to the spot, and it just kind of popped in my head. And I remember the story where, well, I remember this fishing trip with my granddad, and went into the bait shop. We're picking up some worms or plastic, soft plastic baits or whatever. And we're just looking around, and I hear a guy say, George, is that your boy? And I just remember being, and then my granddad's like, yep, that's my grandson, that's my boy. And I just remember being so full of love and just being like, my granddad is, I'm his own. Like, he's accepting me. He's claiming me as his. And I just remember being so full in my heart when he said that. So kind of stuck with me for a long time that it was just a good thing to be George's boy. So that's kind of where the name came from.
Yeah, that's a dope story, man. You know, yeah, because I know I was real tight with both my grandfathers, especially the grandfather that was here in Kentucky. My other grandfather was in Tennessee. My dad grew up in right outside of Memphis, a little cotton town called Somerville, Tennessee. So I didn't get to see him as much, but I was super close to my grandfather, you know. And anytime that I was out with him, you know, a lot of people thought I was, you know, his son, you know, or nephew or something like that. I'm like, no, it's my grandson, you know, it's my pride and joy, you know. So it's something about, you know, boys and their grandfathers, man. It's always usually like a special bond there, man. So
absolutely.
Well, I heard you say you was in Kentucky doing some public land hunting in grad school. Where'd you go to grad school at?
The University of Cumberland in Florence, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. So you
Northern Kentucky.
You was close to Cincinnati area.
Yeah, I was like 10 minutes from Cincinnati.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got family up there. Florence is a pretty cool place, man. You know, you pass there and see that big water tower. Florence, y'all. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody thinks that's how we all talk in Kentucky. You know, most of us
do. That's what they expect.
You know. Yeah, I remember, man, I was took a trip to I think I was either in somewhere else. I can't remember where it was. I was in New Jersey. And I was picking up one of my homeboys or whatever. And I went to school at WKU here in Bowling Green. Yeah. And was picking them up, stopped at this gas station to get gas and walked in and talking to the cashier, and they're like, where are y'all from? He's like, I know y'all ain't from around here. He's like, no, we're from Kentucky. And she kind of looked over the counter at us, kind of like looking at our feet. And I'm like, man, what are you doing? She's like, why do y'all have on shoes? I was like, what? Huh? He's like, y'all from Kentucky. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I thought people in Kentucky didn't wear shoes. I was like, man.
Oh, my.
Like, where'd you get that from? You know, I just thought we should just like hillbilly hicks here in Kentucky, you know. But
yeah,
like, why?
That's something else.
Yeah, man. But yeah, growing up in Georgia, man, how did your environment shape your relationship with like hunting and fishing and everything?
Well, like I said earlier, fishing was kind of always a part of my life. Was kind of like how my introduction to the outdoors. From my granddad, if I was with him, I was expecting to go fishing. If we didn't go fishing, I was upset about it. So that was really my introduction into it. I didn't get into hunting until around 2019, 2020. Yeah, it was January, so 2020. I went hunting with my buddy from high school, and I ended up harvesting a hog on their lease, and that just, the dominoes started falling. I started loving outdoors. I wanted to know more about it. I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to like go, and that just kind of toppled everything into archery, to turkey hunting, to just anything that had anything to do with outdoors or hunting. I was locked in on it and dead set on figuring it out.
That's what's up. So I've always wanted to go on a hog hunt, and I'm hoping I get to go. I'm actually leaving for Texas Saturday. We're going through Houston. We're going to stay in Galveston. Mm-hmm. Got some buddies down there I'm going to meet up with. And I don't know if you were familiar with Hoodneck. Name's Chris. You need to look him up on Instagram, man. He's doing a lot of great things down there in the state of Texas, but he owns a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And he's got a farm down there. They raise hogs and raise different things, stuff like that. So I'm like, man, I'm coming. can you get me a hunt in? He said, when you leaving? I said, well, I think we're leaving Saturday. And I said, we're not coming back to like Wednesday or Thursday next week. He said, man, let me see what I can do. He said, I'd love to, you know, take you out. And I said, man, I'd love to go out, because a hog is definitely on my list of game to harvest. And, you know, because we don't have a hog season here in Kentucky, because we don't have any hogs. And the last the last litter or whatever hogs that they found in Kentucky was close to Kentucky Lake down there, and they ended up eradicating all of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got to get somewhere to get some hogs. No better place than Texas. So can't wait, man. But yeah, growing up, man, like, who were some of your mentors besides your grandfather? Did you have anybody else that you kind of looked up to that were, you know, fishermen or hunters or anything like that?
It would have been my Uncle Wayne. He was, once my grandfather passed away, and I believe it was 2008, if I'm not mistaken. And he became my next fishing buddy, and we were basically inseparable until I basically had to leave for grad school and college. We were going fishing all the time, and like, he just kind of was my still is my buddy, and he almost feel like more like a friend than an uncle in a lot of ways. And I like, still to this day, just love anytime I can spend my Uncle Wayne, getting to hunt with him. I remember getting to fish with him. When it comes to hunting, I really don't have any hunters in my family per se. I met some along the way. My friend Greg, he's actually my cousin now, their marriage. And then I have another friend named Kale, and he's actually a retired Navy. Retired from the Navy, and he drove submarines, and that man can read a topographical map like nobody else. He scouts his behind off. He taught me so much, but guys like that. But it's kind of, I picked them up on the way. But as a young man and as a kid, it'd probably be my Uncle Wayne from kind of passing the torch off from my granddad.
That's what's up. That's cool. So yeah, your family, you know, like you said, your grandfather was a big, you know, fisherman. So anytime that you know, you didn't get to go fishing with him, you were mad, upset, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same way in my family, because my dad, he was a big hunter, but he was also a big fisherman. Mm-hmm. And my dad would get up super early to go fishing, man, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, hey, he called me Junior. You know, I'm not a junior, but he'd always, Junior, you going with me? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, what time is it? Oh, it's 4:30. I'm leaving in 30 minutes. So, you know, I'd get up, go with him, you know, fishing. And I liked fishing back then, but really the only reason I went is because Dad was going. Now, if he was going hunting, I'm up, you know. But I didn't really like the fishing aspect as much, you know. But, you know, as you get older, you realize you're not just fishing. You know, you're out there spending quality time with your dad and stuff, you know. And I always cherish those times now. You know, my dad's gone. Yeah. He passed in 2014. So it's like, I got all those old pictures that I used to hate when my mom took pictures and whatever, but I'm glad now that I have those memories to look back on and tell my son about, you know, show the pictures like, hey, you know, here's your granddaddy. Here's me holding this big old fish and holding some rabbits and stuff like that. So now he's wanting to do everything that I do, which I was the same way with my dad. Anywhere, you know, he was my Superman. Anywhere he went, I wanted to go. So it was one of those things, man. And I don't know if you got a boy or a girl, man, but it's gonna come a point in time. You know, they get older, they're gonna want to do what daddy does, especially if you got a little boy. So
I got a little boy, so I'm hoping. Got a little hunter, fisherman, little outdoorsman. That's what I'm hoping for.
it'll happen, man. I promise you. But do you you shoot archery by chance?
I do. I love it.
Heck yeah! When did you get into archery?
It was actually while I was in grad school. It was 2021, I believe. I bought my first bow. My roommate, he's actually from Wyoming, JP. He and his dad would hunt like elk and basically everything that Wyoming has to offer. And he brought his bow down. He had a traditional bow and then an older compound bow. I don't remember what brand it is. It might have been like a Matthews. But he let me shoot the traditional one and then let me shoot the compound. And I was just like, I shot it one time and I was like, this is cool. I need a bow. So So I bought a bow. And then that season, when I had time, not doing work for grad school, I was in the woods or shooting the bow. So one of my first rotations for school, I got sent to West Virginia, West Virginia, a small town, I think Hinton, West Virginia. And I was just out there in between rotations shooting in the front yard. And actually he was a guide for like some smallmouth fishing. And they have another type of game fish that's pretty, I think maybe walleye, but smallies was one of his big things. But he was like, oh, if you want to come go hunting with me, let me know. We have a blind out like behind the house on the ridge. And he was like very nice family. But I ended up actually going hunting with a patient. So the nurses who I was working with, they knew that I was into hunting or just getting into it and shoot my bow. And they're like, talk to this patient. And this patient has like hundreds of acres of land in West Virginia, like some of the beautiful rolling hills and mountains I've ever seen in my life. And he's like, you want to go hunt? I was like, yeah, I want to go.
Yeah.
And at that point I hadn't harvested anything other than that hog. So I'm looking to get my first deer like ever in my life. So I'm in West Virginia, really don't know this guy from Adam, but he's an older gentleman. He's probably like in his, I'd say 65, 70. Country as they come, but this guy put animals down. I walked in his house and it was like walking into Cabela's. This guy had so many turkey fans you couldn't see the wallpaper. He had so many spurs on the wall that he could basically chain them and link them across the whole house. He had antlers everywhere. This guy just hunted. And then like he opened up his like a safe thing and it just had all these historic guns in there and all like the different, like if you're an antique dealer of guns, you'd want to be in that guy's house because he had everything. And he took me there, took me under his wing, and then we went into his blind that he built himself. And that blind was tiny. He was a very small man. So he built it for himself. And I just remember getting in there and I'm 6 foot. I was probably like 230, 240 then. And I'm crouching down in that thing. I can't stand up fully. I have my bow with me that I've been practicing with. And I see this window and I'm like, I'm not gonna shoot out this window. The window feels like it's like this. Like it's bigger than that, but it literally feels like this. And my body is like here on it, like standing up or trying to stand up. Yeah. So I try to crouch down and get like, can I do it? I'm like, nah. And then he hands me his crossbow and I'm able to get down there. Okay. Like, okay, I can shoot. So we wait, a buck ends up coming in. I actually get it on like film on my phone. So I have a video of that buck coming in and I got that 6 point in West Virginia. That was my first deer.
That's dope, man. That is super dope. That's a crazy story though, man.
Yeah.
Small blind, big dude.
Yeah, it was funny. I still laugh about how small that blind was. But he built it for himself, but it was not built for me.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I've told this story before, but I got into bow hunting, you know, kind of late too. You know, I met this guy named Clay Kirby. You know, we're super good friends to this day, man. And I was really big into like powerlifting and stuff then. And I wanted to, you know, get big, get as big, swole as I could. He was the biggest dude in the gym. I walk up to him one day. I was like, "Hey, man, I'm Courtney. Do you mind if I work out with you?" Come to find out, man, he's country's cornbread, just like me. So we hit it off. And he started helping me out, you know, getting big, putting weight on, and called me one night. I just got out of the shower, just got back from the gym. He said, "Hey, man, if you want to come over for dinner, I'm cooking some deer, you know, stuff like that." And I said, "Yeah, I've never had deer meat before." I was like, "Cool. Come over." I said, "Dude, this is delicious." And he's like, "Yeah, man, you need to get out there and get you one." I said, "Man, I don't really know what I'm doing." He's like, "I'll show you. Come out back." So, like, I literally walk in this dude's house, man, and like you said, he's got deer antlers and mounts all in his kitchen, in his living room, dining room, the basement, and outside in his garage. I mean, he's probably got 100 deer mounts, and I'm not joking. I could actually have him send a picture of just his dining room. He's probably got 40 in there, you know. So he takes me in his garage. He's got like 4 bows, you know, 3 of them are kind of old, and then one was newer at the time. It was a Bowtech Old Glory. So he pulls it off the wall. He said, "Come here." Takes me out back. He's got some targets or whatever. And he's like, "Can you pull this back?" And, you know, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a strong guy. You know, I ain't worried about pulling this bow back." And I'm sitting there like, sitting there shaking. Yeah. I'm like, "Good Lord." And he's like, "Yeah, big guy." So he's like showing me how to properly pull it back. So I finally get it back. And he's like, "You know, you see the thing at the top, you know, there's your peep sight. So look through that peep sight and put that target, you know, put that first pin that you see on that deer." And I shot, you know, bullseye. I was like, "Sweet." So I was like, "Give me another arrow." So I'm just sitting there slinging arrows, man. It's getting dark. And he's like, "Man, you gonna stay out here all night?" I said, "Yeah, go turn that porch light on." So we stayed out there for like another 30 minutes, man. I was like, "Dude, I've got to get me one of these." And he said, "Well, you're in luck." He said, "I'm about to go buy a new bow next week." He said, "I'll sell you this one for $400. I was like, "Deal." I had maybe $25 in my bank account, broke college kid, you know. So I had to go back home, you know, do some stuff on the farm and stuff to get that money. And I paid him a little bit every week till I paid it off. And I was like, "Hey, man, you know, can I keep it at your house?" Because I was living in the dorms and stuff. And every day, man, after we left the gym, I'd go over there and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot, you know. And I ended up harvesting a deer that year with that bow, man. And it was game on after that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. So I know you've upgraded your bow since then. What are you shooting now?
I have a Matthews Lift 33.
Okay.
There's an excellent story behind that one too. I actually got that one as a gift. I was shooting a Matthew Mission. That's the one I bought when I was in grad school. And we were actually, my wife's friend was getting married, and I'm at the wedding. I don't really know too many people, maybe like 2 or 3 people. And I'm just kind of there. I'm kind of watching the Georgia game, looking down at the kids' football game on my phone here and there. And then the crowd of guys, you know how guys kind of hover, or kind of crowd together, get together when the football game's on. So we were huddled up, like looking at the game, kind of trying to make sure the girls aren't looking at us and get about to yell at us or nothing. We're looking at the game, looking up. But we eventually somehow get on the topic of hunting and archery and everything. And a guy, he's actually like works at a bow shop, and we just start talking, and he's like, "What are you shooting?" I'm like, "I have a Matthew Mission." He's like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." He's like, "Yeah, I have a Lift 33 in my car, in my truck. You want to see it?" I was like, "Yeah, that's cool. I'll check it out." And then we go watch the game some more, just kind of enjoy the reception. And he's like, hey, come to the truck. So I come with him, go to the truck, just check out the boat. I'm thinking he's just going to show me the boat, show me a setup. I get out there. I see him taking off the site, and he's like, here, it's yours. I'm like, what? Well, he's like, it's yours. You can have it. He's like, I'm going to upgrade it, I'm going to upgrade and get another one, but you can have this. I'm like, is this a joke? Like, you're giving me like this, like at the time, this bow was the flagship bow for the year prior. So, and he shot it for a season basically. So this, we're talking about basically a brand new bow. For the most part. It had stabilizers on it. It had brand new strings, like everything, like it was a fully set up bow. I just had to put a sight on it. And I was like, what, like, why? My brain couldn't wrap around like what he was doing, but what he really was doing, what made him happy, was that he was furthering the sport, that he was giving me an opportunity to shoot a flagship bow, even though I'm new to the game and hadn't done the upgrade myself. So, I mean, that entry into the archery world and seeing what archery, you know, like the people and the family that archery is really about. I mean, I was just like, hey, I'm locked in, and I'm just thankful to him. And then Ryan Todd, thank you, buddy, for that. But I'm thankful for him, just thankful for all the interaction I've had with people in the archery and hunting community. It's been amazing.
That's crazy. That I've never in my life been gifted a bow.
No.
Yeah. And I don't think it will ever happen. Like, that's crazy, man. That's exactly. Dope though, man. I like you have a good bow for that's dude. I wouldn't be able to, you know, wrap my mind around that either. Like, what are you doing?
I was like, I mean, we're good buddies now. We talk all the time. Hopefully, I'll get to hunt with them this season. But it's just, it took me a minute to, like, I kept looking at him like, I need to get this thing back to him. But every time I was like, are you sure about this? Like, trying to maybe give it back. He's just like, nah, I want you to have it. I want you to have it.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah,
I ended up with a bow.
See, I started off with all Bowtex and, you know, back in the day, they had limb issues, cam issues, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I had just got my best friend into archery, which he's huge in archery now. He's got a channel called Arrow Army. You got to check him out. But he's on YouTube, Instagram. Like, he's real big. He shoots the ASA circuit. He's like actually the number two shooter in Kentucky right now in his class. Like, he's kicking some ass. I'm real proud of him.
Which class is
he in? He's in 940. Like, he's a beast. He shoots a Bowtech now. He's got a Bowtech Reckoning. He calls Candy. It's all white with red accents. Like, he's been doing some big things. Peppermint. But he was Peppermint. Yeah. And we were basically in Bowling Green one day, and we were checking out bow shops and stuff, and nobody really had anything that we really, you know, thought we were going to buy. And buddy of mine was like, man, there's a store in Russellville, which is about 30 minutes from Bowling Green. And we ended up going up there. It's a place called the Hunter's Den. So we drive up there. They're a big Matthews dealer. And I was like, man, I've been shooting Bowtechs all my life. And he's like, man, you know, it's time to try something new. I was like, cool. So get up there. And I'm a sucker for bright orange or bright green strings. That's my thing. And I don't know if you can see my bow back there, but it's got bright orange strings on it.
Yep.
And so he's got the V3 had just came out for Matthews at that time. And they, you know, I think they had the 27 and the 31. And he had one, a 31 up there. It was like a grayish color, bright orange strings. And I was like, hey, I want to shoot that. And he's like, well, that one's not set up. He said, but I've got one in the back that's already set up. You know, go back there and shoot. He said, I'll be back there in a second. So I go back there, take one off the rack or whatever. So he comes back there. He said, what's your draw? And I was like, I'm not real sure. So he measures me, you know, and kind of messes with the bow a little bit. And he's like, I think you're about a 30, 30 and a half, 31, somewhere in there. So I'm letting this thing fly. And I'm like, dude, this feels fantastic. So my best friend, he's over here shooting. He said, dude, you know, that's the first bow he'd ever really shot. And he's like, man, I think I think they're on to something. And so we were like, hey, man, you know, we're interested. I said, what about that bow out there? He said, man, he said, that's a special order bow that I had to get in for a guy. He said he was paying me as, you know, every time he got his check, he said, I told him I'd keep the bow until you paid it off. And he lost his job. So he owes like 800 bucks for this bow. He's like, so if somebody gives me 800 bucks, y'all can take it off my hands. I was like, sold. So I ended up buying a sight from him, rest, you know, setting this thing up, and had a brand new Matthews V3. My best friend was like, man, you just bought that bow. And I was like, yeah. And he was about to walk out the store. And the guy's like, hey, man. He said, your buddy just bought this bow. He said, I'll actually sell you one at my cost if you really want it. He's like, sold. So we both walked out of there with V3s. Man, I can't tell you how many issues I had with that bow after I got it, to the point where I was like, is it something that I'm doing wrong or something, you know? And then I ended up wanting to shoot, you know, ASA. So I ended up buying a TRX 40 from a guy, very reputable guy in the ASA world, was had problems with that bow. So I'm like, all right, am I doing something, or is just Matthew's not, you know, making the quality that I think, you know, whatever. So there for a while, man, like, you couldn't give me a Matthews because I'd had, you know, I had a problem with them. So my homie calls me. He owns a bow shop in Burchville, Kentucky. Shout out to Dylan Gilbert, man. That's my boy. He said, dude, come shoot this Lift X that Matthew just came out with. He said, I bet you you'll go back to Matthew. So I don't know. He said, come down here. I got one set up for you right now. And he said, I got one in stock in black and Bottomland. Know how much you love Bottomland and how much you love black. Come on down here. I drove down there. You know, mine's not open. I don't have an open mind at all when I'm driving down there, man. You know, he gets me set up, and dude, I'm slinging arrows, and I'm like, oh, you know, zero vibration in the hand, bow super quiet. I'm like, how much I want for this bow? He said, I told you. And I ended up trading around and ended up getting a brand new Lift X, which is here back here on the wall. I still got a Bowtech here, and I got a Dart over there on the wall. And my son shoots a Prime. And I got a Prime in here somewhere. I got like four or five bows around here. But, you know, my homies are always, you know, I used to always kind of like get mad at Matthews. You know, my boy Trey shoots one, my boy Jay. And then, you know, I finally put the Matthews hat back on, and he was doing New Jack Archers one day, and seen that bow in the back. They was like, see, Will, did you get you another Matthews? I was like, yeah, I got one. I'm back on the Matthews train, you know. So I gave them another chance, man, and they've got something with this bow, man. Like, I love shooting this bow. Like, it's a beast. Mm-hmm. And your Lift, I know, is pretty much the same thing as the one I've got back here. So I know you know what I'm talking about. So,
yep. Matthew's kind of all I know, but I went to my bow shop in Statesboro, Bow Traders. Shout out to them. They're a great family, great store. They fixed a lot of my stuff because I break a lot of things. Always getting some new arrows and things like that. I got to shoot like several different like flagship bows at that point. Cause I was thinking about getting a new one. I tried a Lloyd and Prime and a couple Matthews or whatever, but it is just like, when I shot the Matthews, I was like, okay, all right. Yeah. I like that. But then I just, I was like, wasn't ready to buy it. So I just kept my mission and just kind of stuck with the mission. And one was gifted to me by the grace of God and a good person. And Matthews Lift now.
I need friends like you, bro. That's dope, though, man. So I guess one day, you know, if you ever decide to upgrade, I'm sure you'll probably gift that bow to somebody else. Yeah, possibly.
Got to.
You know, keep it.
That'll give it back to him.
yeah. So heck yeah, man. So hunting down there in Georgia, man. What's your favorite species to hunt? You just mostly deer, pretty much everything.
I hate that question. I would say I'm a bipolar hunter. It depends on the season, which one's my favorite. But I don't know. I love turkey hunting. I love deer hunting. Those are my two species that I'm after. But I don't think I can pick one over another. It just depends what's going on.
Okay.
Like a turkey hunt when they're vocal, and even if like you're not successful, if they're vocal and they're coming and interacting, and it's amazing. And then the unknown of a deer hunt where you could have a buck running after a doe, and then it'd be a buck of a lifetime. Just knowing that that's a possibility, like I can't pick between that.
Right.
So,
yeah, I tell people all the time.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, man, like the people that ask me about hunting, you know, first getting into it, you know, I don't know if I want to hunt, listen to this. I said, man, just come with me opening day of spring turkey season, and you will understand why I'm out here. Dude, I'm telling you, like, you know, I mean, you get out there, and if them birds are vocal when that daylight hits and they're gobbling their heads off, and then here comes the owls hooting, the crows, and that bird is just sitting there gobbling his head off, man.
Yeah.
You just hear the woods wake up, man. It just sends a chill down your spine, like just thinking about it. And
yes.
I'm like, man, this is why we're out here. And then if you want to experience, you know, a good deer hunt, which I tell people, deer hunting, if you're a beginner, I wouldn't recommend it because you could be sitting possibly for long hours. You know, I tell people, you know, when they first get started, do something like a dove hunt, something like that, where you're constantly kind of moving, kind of shooting, rabbit hunting, something like that. But if you want a good deer hunt, whatever your rut time is in your state, you know, go with a hunter and just watch those deer. And you know, here in Kentucky, you know, I got a bunch of my buddies, they'll set out a corn pile like two days before the rut starts. How come I'm not getting no deer? I'm like, you're getting deer. You're just not seeing them because they're not coming to that corn pile. They're not worried about corn. They're not worried about eating right now. Their nose is to the ground looking for that female. I said, so you need to get out in your stand. I said, your corn pile might be on your left side of your property and all those deer are over there chasing these does. And then when you actually see it for yourself, it's like, oh man, this is like what you see on TV.
Yes.
And you just never know where they're coming from, man. And
to
my buddy, shout out to Wes Brewer, man. He's got this thing called the Mac Daddy. He owns Deer Pimp Scents and Lures. Got to check him out. And he owns a deer farm. So when those does go in estrus, he'll get their pee, fresh pee, and put it in a bottle. And this Mac Daddy is like a diffuser. So you put that deer pee in the bottom, twist it on, turn it on, and wherever you want to take that shot from, you know, turn the thing on and put it out there in the woods, and it disperses that urine into the air. Game changer, bro. Like I haven't had any big shooter bucks come to it, like the ones that I was looking for. But I can tell you probably 15 stories of my buddies hunting with this thing. These bucks are coming straight towards these things because they think that
right dogs
dude, it's the craziest thing that you've ever seen in your life, man. Like the videos that I've seen and some of the bucks that my buddies was killing with this thing. I was like, man, this is an absolute game changer. You know, and it's fresh because, you know, the way my buddy Wes explains it, you know, like you don't know how long some of this other stuff, like the tanks and stuff, has been sitting on the shelf.
Yeah.
And he's like, my stuff is fresh all year round because I can go out there and get it whenever. But when those does, you know, go in heat, you know, that's fresh. So them bucks are going to come straight to it. I was like, you know, I've seen it. You know, I had some smaller bucks come in. I'm just like, man, this is crazy. I mean, come straight up to the thing, sitting there sniffing it, and I'm like sitting there on the ground. I'm like, this is insane, man. You know, but yeah, I had to hook you up with one, man, and see what kind of success you have with it down there in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious. You got me curious on that one. I'll definitely try that out.
Yeah, for sure, man. So what's your go-to setup for deer season down there in Georgia? I know you said you're a big bow hunter. You ever take the rifle out at all?
I do. I have a 30-06. That was also purchased during right after I got that hog, I bought a gun. I was like, I got a Howa 30-06. And so I do take that out. I've been shooting those, what are those things called? Hornady American Hunter.
Oh yeah, American Hunter.
And then there's another brand. But the Hornady American Hunter, they shoot very well on my gun, and I've just kind of stuck with them. I think Federal has a brand, has some like Fusion or something like that. They shoot pretty well out of my 30-06 too. But I saddle hunt. I actually one stick, so I do that for gun, archery, whatever. I kind of got into that. I initially started with a the Skeletor sticks and the Predator platform from Tethered.
Okay.
Kind of transition to the one stick for, I think it's called Out on a Limb. It's the ultimate one stick from them. And I kind of just hop on YouTube, figured all of it out, and just I've been stuck with it ever since.
That's what's up. Yeah, I'm gonna actually be saddle hunting for the first time this year. There's a guy in Nashville named Jerry, Custom Gear Modifications, man. You got to look him up, too. He custom built me. I got you, bro. I promise you.
Okay.
I got
you. I'm going to need a list by the end of this conversation.
Yeah, I got you. But he custom built me, Trey, and J-Cam our own saddles. And we sent him. He's like, hey, man, I want to build y'all some saddles. And I was like, man, I don't saddle hunt. I said, but I'll take it. You know, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So they got me out in Oklahoma, and we're shooting a Shot 3D. And this guy has this product. If you don't have any trees in your front yard, it's this big metal platform that basically like a tree where you can practice shooting out of your saddle. So I'm over talking to, I don't even remember who I was talking to at one of the booths, but they called me over there. It's like, see, Will, come here. They're like, get in a saddle. I'm like, I ain't getting anything. I said, this thing, I'm 315 pounds. This thing is about to fall on me. So the dude was like, nah, man, I got you. So I get in the saddle, you know, and I get all my, you know, everything tied up or whatever. And the guy's like, all right, lean back. I said, you sure? He said, lean back, man, I got you. And I'm on, you know, platform. I'm scared to death. So I lean back, and I'm like, and Trey like standing beside me. He said, "Uh-huh." I said, "Man, this is this is comfortable as hell." And I was like, "Man, I've been trying to tell you." And I, you know, I'm like 5 feet off the ground. I'm not high. Mm-hmm. I hate heights.
Yeah.
So my the guy that, you know, I had this little contraption. He's like, you got your bow? I said, it's actually in the truck. I had just put it up. He's like, here. So he hands me like a 29 axle to axle, you know, Matthews of his. And I'm sitting there trying to fight it, but, you know, take the shot, hit the little deer. It's like 10 yards away. He's like, how did it feel? I said, dude, that felt great. I said, I could literally sit up here all day. And he's like, yep. So I got home. Took mine out of the box and everything, and I'm sitting there outside of my house. I got a little, you know, a big tree out there, so I'm wrapping everything, thinking I got everything good. And I go back, and I keep going. I didn't have my rope set up right.
I had to get
back on YouTube. Luckily, I was only like I said, like 3-4 foot off the ground, just kind of practicing.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to get on YouTube and figure everything out, and figured it out. And then once I got it, I was like, okay, I got it down now. So now mm-hmm. I just got to get some sticks, figure out which sticks I want to go with. But this will be my first time this year hunting with them. So I'm kind of nervous, but I'm kind of excited because there's a spot that I really want to put this saddle, the, you know, saddle hunt that I wouldn't be able to put a blind there, and I wouldn't be able to really put a tree stand there. But that saddle, I'm going to be kind of behind the tree. So when those deer are coming through this funnel, they'll never know I'm in the world. So I'm pretty excited about it. So.
Oh yeah. Also rappel too. I rappel out of the tree. So with that one stick, once I unhook, get off my one stick, I put it on my saddle and then I just rappel down like Batman coming down. But, I use that Mad Rock, clip or whatever. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's light. That's what the one thing about saddle hunting is, just the fact that it's light. I hunt all public land for the most part. I'm walking in a mile, like it just varies. Like I might be hiking in, I might be scouting just to find a new area. So being light and mobile is key with what I do. So having that light setup and like a few things that's not big and bulky, I can get in quiet, I can get up the tree quiet, and I can get down real fast. So I love my saddle setup. I have the Ultra Lock XL from Tether. That's the one I'm using right now. There's a Mobile Hunter Expo coming up soon in August. I think it's like August 8th or 9th. I think it's the 8th. And like all the companies are going to be there. I went there last year, spent too much money, but I learned a whole bunch. But I'm excited to see what they're going to have this year. And they have a lot of different speakers. And I'm excited. I'll be out there. So shoot, if anybody's out there going to that in Dalton, Georgia, hit me up. I'll be there.
That's dope, man. Yeah, I was about to ask you, do you prefer public land or private land? But you said you do a lot of public. Do you have any private land access that you do hunt in Georgia?
I have a few. Like my buddy and mentor Greg, he has a lot of access. One of the docs I work with, he lets me hunt his property sometimes. I have a few coworkers that have property. But it's just something easier to access on public, and it's just kind of all I know, really. I mean, that's kind of what I had access to, so that's what I've been kind of learned on and grind my teeth on. I've enjoyed the grind of public land. Not saying anything's wrong with private. I'd hunt private all the time if I had opportunity to. But I've enjoyed that grind and just trying to figure things out, and the stress of kind of having other people trying to do the same. So you kind of get a little bit of a increased, I wouldn't say difficulty, but you get a little bit more of like a, I'm not sure how to put that. Because I don't want to say it's easier than private, because if it's hunting, it's going to be difficult in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
You're going to put in the work one way or the other. They're putting in food plots. They're putting feeders in. They're doing their thing. They're scouting. They're hunting just as hard as I am. It's just different, but
I got lucky because, you know, I grew up on a farm, and the same farm that I grew up on, you know, that's the land I hunt mostly. But my best friend, he's got some land in the next county over, his dad does. And, you know, we're the only people that are allowed to hunt down there. So we can pretty much do what we want. But my best friend got married. I think he's been married 2 years now, maybe three. I can't remember. But his in-laws just bought some nice property out kind of where he lives. And he literally can go 10 minutes and be in his stand. And he's got some monsters out there. So
that's nice.
Yes, it's in Kentucky. So I don't have to I don't have to go far at all to go deer hunting. There are some public land spots around here, but they're just so pressured. It's just, I don't want to deal with all that. So I'm just like, I'm lucky. I'm lucky enough, blessed enough to have private land spots to go. Now, when duck season comes around, whole different story.
All about it.
I've got to go about 3.5 hours west to the western part of the state. And everybody knows about it. I'm not going to mention the county, but everybody knows the county that listen to this podcast. If you're a duck hunter, trust me. But it's right on the Mississippi River in the Mississippi Flyway, and it's right there. And you have to get drawn to go there. Like basically you'll drive up there 3.5 hours, you go to the post office, where there's a post office like right next door. There's this little Kentucky Fish and Wildlife on it. Go in there, put your name in, put it in a bucket, and there's 1,000 people there with boats and everything, and you just hope that you get your name drawn out of there. Sometimes you get drawn, sometimes you don't. You can get drawn for boat, or you can get drawn for like what they call like a walk-in blind, like a pit blind. Mm-hmm. And I've had buddies go up there 3-4 days in a row, drive 3.5 hours there, 3.5 hours back, and not get drawn. You know.
So it's day to day.
Yeah, it's a day to day thing. It's crazy, you know. And there's some birds down here where we live, but like if you really want to get into some birds, mm-hmm. and you've got to go to the western part of the state, or go to Missouri, or go, you know, Oklahoma, Arkansas, you know, you got to get out mm-hmm. of state. But the western part of the state here, man, you know, it's starting to get a little bit crowded simply because a lot of people are kind of finding out about the place. Yeah. So it seems like there's more and more hunters there when you get there in the morning. So sometimes you get drawn, sometimes you don't, man. But luckily, every time that I've been up there, I've got drawn and had some success up there. So it's fun. I don't know if you've ever been duck hunting before or not, but it's that's another big passion of mine. I'm about 3 years in. I'm still a newbie, man. Still learning, but I absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah, I've never done any duck hunting yet. I've been invited once. I just wasn't able to. I had to work, so I didn't end up going. But it's definitely something on the list of things I want to try. I heard it's kind of addictive. Once you get that first good day, it's kind of you're kind of stuck.
Dude, I'm telling you, man.
Feels about another one.
Hey, so my wife's super supportive about stuff like, you know, she knows I'm a hunter. You know, so she kind of lets me do my thing, which, you know, I'm blessed to have that. But, dude, when I added duck hunting to the repertoire, I was like, I didn't realize how expensive it can be. You know, yeah. I'm just thinking, you know, go buy some decoys, get you a decent shotgun. Mm-mm. You need some good waders. A good set of waders are going to cost you anywhere from $700 to $1,000. Decoys are going to cost you, I can't tell you how much decoys are now. They're just insane. If you want a good shotgun, shotguns have just gotten outrageous, you know. And some people, you know, if you want a boat and all that stuff, and you're always wanting to upgrade your stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like,
somebody coming out with something new.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But first duck hunt I went on, so my buddy Lance is from that western part of the state. And he's got a cousin that's been hunting up there since he was like 12 years old. So he's like, man, Courtney, as big of a hunter you are, and you've never been duck hunting. I said, bro, why would I want to shoot like ducks? Like, that just does not seem like fun. He's like, just come one time. I was like, okay. So I was like, what all do I need? So he sends me this list, and I get on, I don't remember what website I got on, but I'm trying to go as cheap as possible because everybody knows me, I'm cheap. I don't like spending money. I like trading for stuff. Yeah. So I had these little cheap waders. Come to find out they were uninsulated. And I got my little hunting jacket on underneath it and whatever, and my little socks I usually wear in a deer stand. Well, I get out there, and he backs the boat in. And I was like, where are we going? He said, we're going in there. And it's just like, all I see is cypress knobs, this big swamp, nothing but water. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning, 15 degrees. I said, I'm freezing to death. And I ain't even gotten the water yet. So I'm like, what am I doing out here? You know, so I get in the middle of the boat and sit down. And my buddy said, what are you doing? I said, bro, I'm not getting on the side of the boat. I said, I'm sitting right here. So, The captain of the boat was Mackenzie, my buddy's cousin. He's like, hey man, we're gonna hit some stuff. You're gonna feel it, you know, hitting the bottom of the boat. He said, I promise you, we're not gonna flip over. And I'm like, you shouldn't have told me that. I said, because I'm already scared. I got my GoPro like up in front of me like this. I'm filming everything, filming myself, you know, just in case I got to get, you know, say a goodbye speech to my wife or something, you know. And so we're going through these cypress swamps or whatever, and finally get to this big hole. And there's a big, like, cypress tree on one side with, like, a split, like a Y. And I was like, man, this is the nice. He said, yeah, this is where we're going to hunt. I was like, what do you mean this is where we're going to hunt? He said, this is the hole that the ducks are going to come in. He said, we're going to put the decoys here. He said, we're going to be over here. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm looking for, like, somewhere to sit down. No. He pulls the boat kind of by this tree, and he's like, hey, y'all get out right here. We're going to stand by these trees. I was like, what do you mean we're going to stand up? He said, that's why I told you to get waders, because we're going to be standing here. So I about fall out of the boat trying to get in by this tree. And oh, I'm standing in water up to my chest, scared to death. And all I can think about is 15 degrees, but all I can think about was gators and cottonmouths.
Yeah.
And it's dark, pitch black dark. I can't see. No, I can't even see my hand in front of my face. Well, Mackenzie's out there putting decoys out with his boat. My buddy Lance is beside me, and he's like, welcome to crazy white boy shit. I said, bro, I said, dude, I'm over here scared to death. So he gets the decoys out, and he puts the boat behind us and, you know, turns the light off. So we're in the pitch black for at least an hour before, you know, like 7:30 hits. So I'm sitting there praying to God, like, Lord, don't let no gators get me. Don't let no cottonmouth get me. And my buddy Lance is like messing with me. He's like throwing stuff in the water, like in front of me. And I'm like jumping, dude. I was like, bro, stop. I'm about to have a heart attack in here.
Oh, no.
And so basically, 7:30 comes, shooting light. And I look in the sky, dude. There's ducks just flying everywhere. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I was like, so when are they going to come to us? He's like, that's the beauty of this. Just hold on. So they start calling or whatever. And I think it was about four of them that come like straight in our face. And they're like wings, you know, flapping, about to stop. And my buddy's like, shoot them, shoot them, shoot them. So we shoot them four. And they fall. And the Mackenzie's got a dog named Pinky. So she goes and gets them, brings them back. And I'm like, okay. So, like, the next group come in, and we're shooting. I think we ended up getting 12 between the three of us. And I was like, okay. I said, I see. This is cool. And so the next year, you know, comes around, and he calls. He said, hey, I'm going back up there this year. You going? Absolutely. So I'm calling around, and my buddy's a duck hunt. All right, man, I froze to death last time. Like, what do I need to get? So upgraded my waders, upgraded my shotgun, got me like a little bag to put my shells in, had my hand warmers, you know, dude, I was warm. So I was like, okay, I'm good. I know what I'm doing now somewhat. I'm still getting to the point where I can identify what duck is flying, you know, because that's a federal bird. You don't want to accidentally shoot the wrong bird, you know.
Yeah.
But It's a good time, man. If you know somebody like that's really experienced, that can like take you and kind of teach you the ropes, man. Like I got bit by the bugs, and now, man, I got, you know, upgraded shotgun, waders, buying decoys. Like it can get real expensive real fast if you don't watch it.
Yeah, I bet it can. Then you want a boat, then you want a dog.
Yeah.
I got a
dog. He's a little bit older. I got a chocolate lab, but he's
oh, really?
He'll hunt, like he'll go pick up like a dove, but you don't know if he's gonna let go of it or not. Like he'll go get it, but like when he brings it back to you, he thinks it's a toy. So I'm kind of scared. Yeah. Like I want to take him in the duck woods just to see what he does, but he's older. He's an older dog, and I was like, I don't want to get him in a situation where, you know, he gets in there and can't get out. You know, I'll put a vest stuff on him, but I'm like, I don't want to take a chance on him just yet. So, but
That's understandable.
Yeah, man. So, wrapping this thing up a little bit, man. So tell me about a time in the woods or fishing that something that you planned on didn't go as planned? Let you think about that one for a minute.
Yeah. Something that got the one or fishing that didn't go as planned.
Like you planned on that, you planned on this going, and then something dramatically just crazy just happened.
I got it. So I moved to North Georgia probably about 3 years ago. So my first year here, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go scouting or whatever. Getting ready to go scouting. I'm not thinking about what elevation's like up here because we're in North Georgia. We got mountains and we got hills, and it's not flat like Savannah. So I'm not mentally prepared for what I'm about to get myself into. I have Onyx on. I use like the color shading thing that shows you, but I didn't understand what the colors really meant. I'm just like, okay, it looks like a rainbow. It's like it's yellow, it's red, it's purple. It's like whatever. It's not a big deal. So I'm getting in there, start walking, start hitting the yellow. I'm like, I'm in pretty good shape at that point. I play football. I'm still working out, so I'm pretty good shape. I'm like hitting yellow, kind of getting up there. Start hitting red. I'm like, this is getting kind of stupid. What is going on here? And I just keep walking, walking, walking. And then I'm just like, why is it so steep? I finally get on top of the ridge, and then I turn right, and all I see is just thicket that I just walked myself into that I know for a fact that I just probably can't get out of. And I end up basically having to fight my way. Sorry.
Oh, you're good, man. Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, I can hear you. I don't think you can hear me, though. You're muted now. You're good now.
I ended up having to fight my way out of this thicket, and I ended up hitting a drainage kind of, but then having to go back up another ridge, and it's just like the thickest stuff. I think it was mountain laurel that I was really stuck in. So I'm stuck in like this mountain laurel thicket. I'm from South Georgia. We don't have that. At least not to my knowledge. We don't have that. So I'm like, it's just crisscrossing. I'm just fighting, and I'm all cut up and scratched up. And I'm just like literally just stuck in this thicket of mountain laurel. And I don't understand what the terrain is really. So it takes me probably like once I looked at like where I was from my car to where I actually was, I was probably like a mile away. But due to the elevation and the thickness of where I walked myself into, it took me about 2 or 3 hours to get to the car, if not longer. And I just remember just like being like, I don't know if I can hunt this. And like, I didn't accomplish anything. I just accomplished making myself tired and cutting myself up, basically. So that kind of discouraged me a little bit. But I mean, eventually I just kind of learned to use my resources, which was Onyx, learn the mapping system. I talked to other people that hunted this area before, and I figured out kind of how deer move in it and realized like they're not going to be going through this craziness to get to different areas of interest. They're going to be using the area of least resistance. Mm-hmm. They're going to be obviously close to thickness or thicket, but they're not going to be necessarily just traveling, tromping all the way through it unless something's probably behind it or something. So I learned through my struggle, but it was that learning curve for being in the – a little bit higher elevation, and then just like the foliage being different, it was a mess. But it was a good experience. I learned from it. Cut my teeth on something. It was good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've had, you know, you playing on something out there, and then something just goes absolutely haywire. Like first time I ever took my best friend turkey hunting, because you know he had never been, and I'd say I'm a pretty decent turkey caller. I'm not the greatest in the world. I'm no Michael Waddell or Stanley Williams by no means, but I'm pretty decent. And I had gifted him a shotgun years ago just to kind of, if he ever wanted to go rabbit hunt or something with me. And I said, you know, bring that gun. I said, you know, we're going to double up and we'll put it on our channel. We'll record everything. So everything is going as planned. You know, Big Tom comes out on top of this ridge about 200 yards and I call him straight to my decoys. And so I look over at him. I was like, you want to shoot? He said, nah, man. He said, I'm recording. You take the shot. I was like, okay. Well, I didn't take the time out like you should to pattern my shotgun, all that good stuff before you. I tell everybody now, like, make sure you know where your gun's shooting with those shells, because you just never know how your gun might be off bad.
Yeah.
30 yards in front of me, this time strutting straight at my decoys, put it right at his neck, shoot. And it sounded like my shotgun literally sounded like one of those old, like, pop guns that you get when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, poop. And I'm like, okay. And it didn't eject the shell. You know, I shoot a semi-automatic. So I had to manually eject the shell. The other shell racks in. I see it, hear it, take next shot. Same thing. I'm like, what in the world? So didn't eject the shell. So the last one, you know, this will be my third shot. Same thing. So I'm sitting there looking at him, my best friend. I was like, shoot that bird now. So, like, he's trying to pick up his gun, and this time the bird's, I mean, he's literally just standing there. He don't know what's going on because my shotgun hasn't made a shotgun sound.
Yeah.
And so he gets on the bird. He shoots. Feathers fly everywhere. And I'm like, and the bird just flies off. He's like, man, I hit that bird. I said, yeah, you hit it. I said, where'd you shoot? He said, I shot him in the body. And I'm like,
oh.
I just dropped my head. I said, I didn't do my due diligence as a best friend to tell him where to shoot the bird. I just thought he knew.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I always aim for the bottom of the neck, you know, and let that pattern. But he aimed for the body, seen feathers fly or whatever.
Mm.
And he's like, man, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's my fault because I didn't tell you. And I pick up his shell. I pick up all three, you know, all four of our shells. My shells are, they've got like a little bit of like wet substance on the bottom. I guess my shells got wet.
Mm.
And pick up his shell. He's got a 7.5 Monarch birdshot shell from like Academy. Those little orange ones, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, bro, why do you have a bird, like a bird shell? And he's like, well, turkey is a bird. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, I'm a terrible best friend. So I made sure the next time we went, I was like, okay, this is a turkey shell. This is where you shoot the turkey, you know? I felt so bad that day, man, because you know, I missed it, this bird three times and he ends up missing it. And, but we ended up having, you know, a fun time fellowshipping and stuff like that. You know, it's just, you live and you learn, man. And it's,
you really do.
A lot of people call it hunting and not killing. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you appreciate you being on this podcast, man. I think we just had a pretty good conversation, man. And anything that I could ever do for you, man, reach out to me. You've got my phone number and everything. Hopefully we can maybe get on a hunt together one day down in
Georgia. Oh, yeah. I definitely want to try to. I was thinking about trying to get to Kentucky this season and try to get on some public land or something. So I'm not sure exactly where you're at, but if I'm up there, I'll let you know.
I'm South Central Kentucky. I'm okay. About an hour south of Louisville. So, there's a little town called Elizabethtown. That's an hour south of Louisville. And then you get to Elizabethtown and you get on basically, there's this place called Lincoln Parkway and a little town called Hodgenville, Kentucky. LaRue County, Kentucky is literally the home birthplace of Abraham Lincoln. That's how everybody knows us. That's my county we're right in the middle of bourbon country. You know, we got the best bourbon in the world, and I will stand on that till I die.
I give y'all that one. The Tennessee people probably would roll over on that one, but
they do. But they know nobody does bourbon like Kentucky.
Oh yeah, we got Uncle Nearest not too far away from us. You got to do like a bourbon tour from Father's Day one year. That joker there, that's some
good. Yeah, I've got a whiskey. Problem with
that. They get mad at me for not saying that too.
So supposedly, do you know the story behind him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taught on Jack Daniels everything you knew, right?
Yep. A lot of people don't know that when they pick that bottle up, but you know. But we've got some good bourbon here, man. You know, Jim Beam's here, Knob Creek, Maker's Mark, Woodford Reserve, basically all your big names are here. We got some good bourbon here. So if you're a bourbon collector, man, let me know, because I got some connections here that can get you pretty much anything you want.
I wouldn't say I'm a collector just yet, but if it's good, I want it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really drink anymore. I kind of have a little couple sips during Christmas time or something, but I don't really drink it much anymore. Just, you know, I'll casually sip, you know, something every now and then. But yeah, man. So one more question, man. I'll get you out of here. So your dream hunt, where are you going? What you hunting for? First question was like a two-part question.
Okay.
Then your dream fishing trip, where are you going? What you fishing for?
Dream hunt probably be New Zealand and a red stag. I've never ever been anywhere near New Zealand, and I've never seen a red stag in person. they look like a majestic animal. It just seemed like a cool hunt to go on.
That's different. So
that would be
first time I've ever heard that. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard that one. So
yeah, it's different. It's like it'd be so different from what I'm used to, but I'd probably be the red stag in New Zealand. Fishing wise, I like the inshore. Like I grew up in Savannah, and my buddy Tripp, him and his dad would take me inshore fishing. So probably somewhere either in Florida, Georgia coast, and doing some hitting the flats, getting some redfish, like getting on some giant bull reds. For like a week or so, that'd probably be my dream fishing trip. Nothing like too crazy, not like sail fishing or anything like that, marlins and things. But I think I keep it simple.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I got a homeboy, man. He wants to go. Like he's a big fisherman and he's a big hunter as well. He wants to go to Kodiak Island, Kodiak hunt, and then he wants to stay there and fish the coast or whatever right there. So he kind of wants to knock everything out right there. And I'm like, man, I ain't hunting no Kodiaks. I'm sorry. Them things are aggressive and they're huge. And he wants to do it with his bow.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude, you more of a man than me, because I've seen too many of them videos, man. You know, people's hunting those, you know, the brown bear, and they're 5 yards from them or whatever, and walk right in front of them and charge at them or something. Like,
I better have an amazing broadhead and a gun.
Yeah, for sure. Or somebody behind best
broadhead on the market and a gun.
Hey,
I do want to get a black bear here in North Georgia, though. That is one of my goals, to try to learn that style of hunting, too.
I'd like to get a black bear. I'm not too, I wouldn't say scared of them, you know, because they're kind of more scared of us than.
Yeah, you got to provoke. I feel like you have to provoke them. I'm sure. I mean, they're still a bear and they're still capable of ripping you apart. But I think you have to provoke them a little more. Getting between a mother and a cub probably would be the worst thing you could do for any bear.
Heck yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you, man. And shout out all your social medias, man. So if anybody wants to follow you and, you know, pick your brain or whatever, where can they find you?
On YouTube, I'm George's Boy Outdoors. On Instagram and TikTok is GB Outdoors 15. on Instagram and TikTok, like I said, and then Facebook is George's Boy Outdoors. Hit me up, find me on there. I like learning from people, so I'm gonna ask you questions. My channel is basically just kind of putting questions out there and seeing what the community has to say about it. More than anything, I might know the answer, I might not, but we're gonna try to learn together. So that's kind of what my kind of goal is.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm not, an expert hunter by no means. I said I've got a lot of knowledge that I've gained over the years, just trial and error, and I've had a lot of help from the OGs and just people that's been around me. But if I don't know the answer, I'll definitely get you an answer. Point you in the right direction. I'm not just going to BS you and just, come up with something on top of my head. I know that's wrong and give you the wrong information, so. But yeah, this podcast will be out in a couple of weeks on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. So make sure you give it a like, subscribe. It helps me out. It helps the podcast out. You can also find me on Sportsman's Empire. If you go to the podcast section, you can see my little logo. Click on my logo. You can see all my podcasts. I think this is episode 51 or 52. I can't remember. Still grinding, man. Still learning. Still getting some good guests on. I try to have I don't just bring anybody on, my podcast. I kind of want, do my research and stuff. Make sure it's going to be a good person to interview. And this one has been a great conversation, man. I love what you stand for. George's Boy is very, very catchy, and it's got a great meaning behind it. A lot of people out there just come up with these names, and they don't have anything that, behind it. It's just like, oh, I just thought of this because of this. No, but that it has a good meaning behind it with your grandfather and everything, man. So best of luck to you in the outdoors, man. Best of luck to you on your channel and everything. I hope we can grow together, man, and catch some hunts, man. I want to come to Georgia. I definitely want to do some hunting with you, man. So let's keep in touch with each other and everything like that, man. So
we'll get after it, definitely. And hopefully I can come back when you chop it up about something else, maybe.
For sure, man. So you got any last words for the listeners?
Hey, getting closer to season. Just be safe. Make good decisions. We love hunting. We love the outdoors, but there's nothing that can take the place of the base of your life. So strap into that tree, wear your harness correctly. We didn't really get into it, but I work in the medical field. I work in trauma and acute care surgery, and I see people fall out of tree all the time. So that would be my last words just for this podcast is be safe and please don't fall out of a tree.
For sure. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Michael Colberth, Georgia's own. Big game, small game, all game. We do this too.
It's your boy, C. Will. What the hell?
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with 1+ negotiations and 1+ cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.